Close your eyes, take a couple of big deep breaths as we just center ourselves in this moment, right here, right now, knowing that God is the only presence, the only power, and the only mind, that we are open and receptive to that power today, that we know we hear what we need to hear. We are able to release what needs to be released. And then we can take this through us, with us throughout the week. My intention is that everyone here takes home a pearl of wisdom that perhaps empowers you, supports you, inspires you, and allows life to be just a little bit easier. We know we're here by divine appointment, all of us, collectively as well as individually. We are open and receptive to receive the message. We're grateful for this opportunity. We now release these words, we let them be, and together we say, and so it is. So it's a brand new month. Can you believe it? It's already August. And this month's theme is the pathway to the presence. When we're present to the presence, it expresses through us in a various ways. It expresses as self-empowerment. It expresses as clarity, as enlightening up, and as grace. And we'll be walking through each of those per week this month on the pathway to a deeper connection to spirit and to self. This morning's talk, The Pathway to Self-Empowerment, is inspired by a beautiful statement that Ernest Holmes, I do believe, originated. It's the central theme of Science of Mind, and it's also stamped in the introduction to Frederick Bale's great classic home study course called The Basic Principles of Science of Mind. And here is that beautiful statement. There is a power within you. It can lift your life to its highest level. It can change illness into health. It can bring success out of failure and victory out of defeat. It can bring companionship and happiness out of loneliness. It will respond to you. It is the power within you. And that is really the foundation of Science of Mind. And I'll be referencing that power within each of you this morning. Each of us has our unique journey to walk through this human experience. I'm sure you would all agree. While each of our pathways certainly is unique, there's a common urge within all of us to transcend where we are so that we might experience a higher ground or higher levels of being and thinking and behaving in our own human experience. We each have to do this for ourselves. For some, there's an urge for a desire to experience oneness with the divine. And I would say that is a great beginning. However, the greatest benefit or the aha moment is when we consciously decide to become that channel, that instrument, that vehicle for the divine expression. That is really living the spiritual truth that we are. That is truly using power within us that is greater than we are, so that it makes a difference in our own journey, so that it also empowers others on their journey. What does it mean to you personally to live a spiritual life? That's kind of a question that you could live in this morning as you're listening to this. This month we're going to be supported in this quest as each week we look at a different pathway to the presence. Each one intended to take us a little bit deeper, leading us higher into that desired state of conscious unity with God the divine. However, this doesn't mean that we get to escape life. Sometimes people think a spiritual life and human life are split or are different. The purpose of a spiritual life isn't to escape human life or to deny human life. In fact, Ernest Holmes states very clearly on page 429 of Living the Science of Mind that the whole purpose of our existence is to express the self, self-expression. He goes on further to say, we do not teach people to sit still and monotonously repeat that God is all there is. While it is true, it is also true that God is everything that is. The individual life, that's your life and my life, must avoid monotony and self-centeredness through self-expression. One is not truly happy until one has a purpose in living. And this teaching gives us great purpose. Today we're going to look at the pathway of self-empowerment and how it is we can take this power and use it to be more self-empowering and to really utilize our personal power. There's a classic book that was written by Jack and Cornelia Addington. It's called The Perfect Power Within You. We have that on the book table this morning. And Jack Addington said that this perfect power within is a universal mind power. And when you become one with it, you become one with all power, drawing to you all that you need from the universe. Once you have learned to let universal power flow unimpeded through your life, miraculous things begin to happen. Ernest Holmes said there's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it. Now, we can use this power for good in this universe because it is right inside of us. We believe that it is good. We believe that it is truth. We believe that it is also love, as well as it is also beauty. Our pathway to self-empowerment. It turns out it's not an external walk, that it is actually an inside job. We simply must walk the pathway in order to connect with it. It was Jesus' sense of self-empowerment due to his perfect connection to God that fueled his mission, regardless of life's unavoidable setbacks and disappointments. In today's world, of all kinds of outward appearances and experiences, connecting with our internal power is imperative if we plan on taking the high road. There is a power for good in this universe, and you can use it. That's truth. And it can also use you. There's a wise teaching about the use of this internal power found in Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27. And it's where we learn about the miracle of calming the sea. Jesus had spent the day preaching, teaching, and healing. And when the day was through, his disciples got in a boat to travel to their next gig. Apparently, Jesus was tired, and so he fell asleep. And the story goes that he fell asleep right away. But suddenly a violent storm erupted and the sea became very, very rough, so rough that the boat was being tossed about and flooded with the waves. His disciples became very scared, and so they woke Jesus by saying, "Oh Lord, save us, we're perishing." And Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of such little faith?" Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men were astonished, saying, "Who is this man that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who was this man?" Well, just like you, he was a man, a person who transcended conditions by living at a higher level of being, of thinking, and of behaving, apparently unmoved by appearances. He lived in this constant connection and communion with his internal source and power, and he also knew how to use this power for good. And I would say that this is our great lesson. We've all been tossed about through the sea of appearances, have we not? The sea of conditions and circumstances and things over which we have little or no control. And in spite of those circumstances, we go on with the business of living. What is it that we can learn from this miracle of calming stormy seas on our pathway to self-empowerment? Because these are the times when our self-empowerment is important, when it does need to be fueled by this power, sometimes when we're feeling the weakest or we're feeling the most disconnected. I'd like us to look at three elements of this story symbolically, because I believe that the Bible is symbolic, and however we choose to apply that symbiology is what is helpful. And there are three things. First, it's that Jesus was asleep. The second was, O ye of little faith. And the third was Jesus rebuked the winds. So let's look at Jesus being asleep. Being asleep could be, and it often is, a metaphor for being unconscious or unaware in sort of an unhealthy way. And to me, this just isn't the accurate interpretation in this particular situation. How about it simply being one who is serene, one who is at peace, allowing, unafraid, even detached? In other words, not uptight, not nervous, not moved by the circumstances, not controlling, and also not afraid. I feel what is important here is not that Jesus fell asleep. It's that he stayed asleep as the storm continued to rage on. And sleep being the words that I just spoke, at peace, allowed, detached, calm, not controlling. Now, he may well have slept right through the whole thing had the disciples not awakened him, who knows? But he was not bothered by what was going on in the outside world. If we were to replace the word asleep with the words that I used a moment ago, we would get Jesus stayed serene, at peace, allowing, unafraid, detached as the storm raged on. Serene, at peace, allowing, unafraid, and detached are power words and empowering words, and I'll explain what I mean by that. First, let's look at the next important element of this miracle. O ye of little faith. His disciples got scared. In that fear, they woke Jesus, saying, Our Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you fearful? Why is it that you have such little faith? Now, he said that on more than one occasion. Jesus was patient, wise, insightful, and he seemed to rarely, if ever, in my experience in reading, ever get his buttons pushed. He specialized in spiritual things, and he had the power and the insight and the understanding that his disciples hadn't really gotten yet. And he must have been thinking to himself, gee, I really don't understand why they can't trust, why they can't believe. They can remain steadfast in knowing that there is the very essence of life in, around, and through all of them. All they need to do to be safe is to put their faith in it. Gentle, trusting, believing, steadfast are more empowering words. I'm going to add a word, non-resistance, to this list because I believe that's something that I feel Jesus had mastered. I learned in my studies that non-resistance is one of the highest forms of enlightenment, is to be able to stay in a consciousness of non-resistance. And then we move on to number three, he rebuked the winds. Jesus knew that he had immediate access to power and that he could always use this power, that it was available to him 24 hours a day. He also knew that when he spoke his word, that it activated the law. Now, Ernest Holmes on page 125 of our textbook said, we're dealing with the same power that molds the planets and all that is upon them. And the limit of our ability to use this power is not in principle, but in our understanding of it. Jesus understood the power, and he always used it. And he used it with confidence, and he used it with courage, and on purpose, and very unselfishly. These are empowering words. Now, I've used some specific words this morning intentionally, and I've said that they are power words, and what I mean by that is they are words that are empowering. They feel empowering to us, and I'm going to say them again. Confidence, courage, purpose, unselfish. Gentle, trusting, believing, steadfast. Serene, at peace, allowing, unafraid, detached, and then I added non-resistant. How many of you are familiar with David Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force? Any of you familiar with that book? We'll have to order it for you because we're out of it. But if you're interested in buying this book, go to the book table and let us know, and then we'll order it. This is a book that is filled with facts. It's filled with all kinds of research and studies. Science to satisfy the intellect as well as the spirit. And then the story of his own amazing healing. And in it, he uses kinesiology to calibrate attitudes based on a numerical scale. Anything calibrating over 200 is continued to be tapping into power. Under 200 is tapping into force. Kinesiology is now a well-established science that's based on the testing of muscle response stimulus. So every word that I chose this morning, which Jesus so beautifully taught us in the experience of calming the troubled seas and sky, calibrate at a vibration of over 200. Those are all power words. In Power Versus Force, Hawkins has a two-page listing of attitude pairings, one of which calibrates over that 200 that I mentioned, and the other of which does not. Now, Hawkins suggests that just by reading over the list, by merely becoming acquainted with the differences between these two poles, we can begin to increase our inner power, and not only that, we will start to notice things that we never, ever observed before. Such revelations occur, he said, because the universe favors power. The universe favors power over force. I'm going to give you a list of the pairings of these words just so you get a sense of it. Under power, peaceful. Under force, belligerent. Serene, dull. Allowing, controlling. Detached, removed. Confident, arrogant, courageous, reckless, purposeful, desirous, unselfish, selfish, gentle, rough, trusting, gullible, believing, insisting, steadfast, falter. I think it's a very, very important list for us to recognize, not only for the words that we use, but we know that every thought we have has power. Every thought is creative. Behind every thought, there's usually a feeling. When that feeling and thought are aligned and they want to be expressed, they come out as a word. And our words are power. Our words create our universe, do they not? Yes. We identify things by words. We express ourselves by words. When people say, "How do you feel?" you have a word to say. Wouldn't it be much better for your tissues and your cells and your body and all your organs to use an empowering word rather than a word of force? We each have access to this great, mighty, mighty power. If we listen to the inner mind instead of the intellect, the inner mind, the divine mind, the big mind. Now, as we begin to live from our own inner mind power, and by that I mean the divine power, we absolutely can change the world. And we change the world by starting with a thought that you have about everything and anything. Be sure that those thoughts are directed with some sort of empowerment. So your thinking and your being and your behaving is that of empowerment, not only for yourself, also empowers other people. Ernest Holmes said, "Power unused will do nothing." That we must recognize spiritual power and then use it. Now, your spiritual power is running all the time. It's how you choose and when you choose to commune with it and to use it. Now, we don't have to wait for emergencies when the alligators are biting at our heels and then say, "Oh, spiritual power, please kick in and get me out of this." We want to begin from the moment that we awaken to use our spiritual power, to use words of power as opposed to words of force. To treat ourselves and others in powerful and empowering ways. I think nothing says it better than Christian Larson, who wrote a beautiful book, The Pathway of Roses. And this is what he said. This is our purpose: to live the purest, the largest, the fairest, the most useful life, the most beautiful and the most spiritual life possible just for today. To be our very best here and now, with no desire to outshine some other being, but simply to be all that we are in divine being now. To fill the present moment with all the spiritual sunshine that we can possibly radiate through the crystal walls of love, peace, faith, and joy. To live so near to the Supreme that we may touch the hem of His garment whenever we so desire. This is life. And he who lives with such a purpose forever in view shall never know an undesired moment. Put your full power into everything that you do, your full power. And that means to give your best to the world and to love abundantly as you travel this pathway to self-empowerment. Thank you, and so begins the journey. Thank you. These are beautiful, wise words, and you can be sure and know that Spirit has accepted all of them and that they are permanent in divine mind. Sit back, take a couple of big, deep breaths. We take this inspiration, this enthusiasm, this wonderful wisdom to empower us and to support us as we go through this week in life. We're so grateful to be a part of this one mind, this one power, this one presence, this thing that we call God, that we call Spirit, that we call Universe, that we call Creator Source. We know that we are at one with it. And in that oneness, we commune to higher places, to deeper places, and that no matter what seas may have tossed us about, we are in the calm. We feel that we are open and receptive to allowing, to being courageous, to being receptive to the word and accepting of that word. And I know that as you go forth throughout this week, that miracles take place, that your faith has increased, that your ability to control what you think, what you feel, and how you behave is masterful, that you are in that consciousness of non-resistance, allowing and letting this divine power and presence guide you and guard you into every situation, every circumstance, and every encounter that you have. We now live in an attitude of gratitude, knowing that in wondrous ways that we know not of, this infinite is doing its right and perfect work, making the crooked places straight, allowing us to be all that we can be and to love abundantly above all. In gratitude, we release these words. We do give thanks, and together we say, and so it is.